Warning. My dad and Matt say bad words in this episode. Listener discretion is advised.
Get on with it.
Yes, get over it! Yeah!
You know, I actually should probably go back and watch The Witch again. Number one, just because I think I've grown as a film viewer, even in just the 6 years since we've been there.
Every time me and Nick talk about it, I tell him I'll watch The Witch again when he watches Prometheus again. We'll do a double retread night. So far, we never have.
Matt, I want to do something a little different. You're probably wondering why I called you here today to the conceptual Nighthawks Diner, where the pie is always hot and the ice cream is always cold. For years, we have not known what to do with the What Are You Watching segment. I like the segment. Do you like the segment?
I like all the segments.
But we've never really known where to put it. Sometimes we put it at the beginning, and then I listen to those episodes in retrospect, and I'm like, man, I don't know if the Ghostbusters audience wants to sit through our discussion of the movie we watched that week before we get to the Ghostbusters talk. And then we were doing it at the end, and that worked, I think. But I also wonder, do we lose people at that point? When we stop talking about Bill and Ted, do you turn the episode off? I kind of want to do a little mini episode. We played with this once before, but I think that this might be the home for this. Who are you, by the way? I am one of your co-hosts, Trevor T. Trujillo, but you are...
I am an entity from outside space and time.
We call him only Glaxor.
I listened to a Manly P. Hall audiobook while in a float tank, and now I can jerk off with my mind. That's too obscure. I probably should have said Aleister Crowley instead.
Aleister Crowley and W.B. Yeats. I just read that for the first time the other day. It blew my mind. They had a wizard's duel, dude.
Yeah, didn't Yeats just like end up kicking him in the balls or something?
I believe the apocryphal tale is that he got thrown down the he threw Aleister Crowley down the stairs and subsequently kicked him out of the Order of the Breaking Dawn or whatever it was.
The Order of the Golden Dawn.
Golden Dawn, thank you.
But I like the idea of like a bunch of like 55-year-old shirt tail nobility getting together and just like watching Twilight.
No, they get together and talk about Harry Potter, what house they would belong to.
I'm definitely Slytherin. No, you're a Hufflepuff. No, shut up. I'm a Slytherin. It's like backwards from normal.
Well, Matt, what have you been watching this week, speaking of esoteric and forbidden knowledge?
Oh, and speaking of occultists that are dorks, I watched Morbius.
Oh, no.
With Jared, no relation to the Duke Leto.
Now, this is a weird pocket of the Marvel Universe that Sony is doing. They're kind of trying to spin out this standalone Spider-Man universe so they can have a Spider-Man Avengers moment. How are things over in the ancillary Spider-Man movies? We had Venom, we had Carnage, or I guess that was Venom 2. Now we have Morbius, which... I remember him being kind of a bigger deal in the 90s than he is now. I guess a vampire figure, a villain in the Spider-Man universe. He's...
Okay. So you have to understand the history of the Spider-Man character is such that Spider-Man was billed as the non-mutant superhero, which was held to be very important in separating his brand in a clear way from the X-books. And therefore, he needed a villain that followed along similar lines, and they created the character of Morbius, who's a vampire. But, and this is important because it clarifies his ability to be featured in like crossovers with Blade and Doctor Strange. And see, so Morbius, as much as Spider-Man is the non-mutant superhero, Morbius is the living vampire, because rather than esoteric or occult origins, he has given his vampiric abilities with bat DNA.
Uh-huh. And so that's the story that's in the movie, huh?
You need a doctor?
I am a doctor.
I should have died years ago.
People all over the world have my disease.
I'm here
to find a cure.
We have to push the boundaries, take the risks.
If you're gonna run, do it now.
People are strange.
Dr. Michael Morbius, you've been missing for 2 months.
When you're a stranger.
Then you were found on a container ship that washed up off of Long Island.
Faces look ugly when you're alone.
Johnny!
What did you do to yourself, Doctor?
I wish I knew. I went from dying to being more alive than ever.
It worked.
Not exactly. I have increased strength and speed. And some form of bat radar. What else can I do?
There are limits. There has to be.
There's something inside of me. He wants to hunt and consume blood.
Michael.
When you're strange,
can you control it?
I don't know.
Yeah, he like drinks some bat shakes and then he gets tracers behind him like, you're high, because bat DNA gives you the ability to levitate and leave streaks of light and shadow. I suppose it was serviceable, but did you watch the Tom Hardy Venom movie, either one?
I didn't. I should, but I didn't.
Okay, the Tom Hardy Venom movies work because they do not take themselves seriously, and they realize that Venom is a stupid 90s character to begin with, and is not sacred. It is an irreverent PG-13 character for 13-year-old boys that has big, giant muscles and big, bitey teeth. Right? And the problem with this movie, they took themselves the wrong amount of serious and just produced something that technically is on the level of the Venom movie. It's like a medium good special effects movie with some decent action, but it's completely joyless. Also completely, like, if you're gonna be silly, you have to be funny. And if you're going to have gravitas, you have to do it successfully, like, say, Dune. Like, I'm not condemning seriousness and saying everything should be, like, in the jokey Marvel-verse. But you can have a dark aesthetic and the movie takes its rules seriously without the movie being joyless. Like,
well, look at the original, like, Blade, for instance.
Or Conan the Barbarian. Yeah. That's a movie that's very serious. They're not cracking literal jokes to each other all the time. But it is fun because it's bombastic in its seriousness, right? And this is none of that. It is just some dudes being edgelords. It's an edgelords movie. The only bright spot in it is Matt Smith, former Doctor Who, as the other guy that gets the powers and is the... That's another thing. Like any movie from now on, if it's a superhero movie from now on, and they do Flash and Dr. Zoom, the Black Panther and the other Black Panther, Venom and Carnage, like, okay, we get it. If you have another Ryu and you just put him in a red gi and make his hair blonde and you call him Ken, you get two guys for the price of one guy, but we're sick of it, right? Matt Smith is this character, and he's Morbius's childhood friend. They both have some blood disorder. Morbius is a genius and he's working to cure their own disease, whereas he is not a genius, but he is a rich inheritor of a criminal family, and so he bankrolls the whole thing. When he gets the second successful dose of the formula that Morbius makes, he's like, oh, now I can be a cannibal crime lord for real, and I don't have to, like, give all my orders from my wheelchair and trade on my status and reputation. I can go do shit. It's just like a long video game cutscene. It's just like, speaking of which, I also watched Uncharted.
Oh my God. Here's my question for you, Matt. Is Indiana Jones throne still Indiana Jones? Did Uncharted just totally unseat him?
All right. I got to say, Uncharted, because I went in with a heart full of hate, won me over on the level that, like, I like a good pulpy movie, and on the level that you watch National Treasure or something, and you're like, oh, that is kind of neat. They go and they get a clue, and then they go a different place, and the places are all neat, and they're going to beaches, and they're walking on top of old buildings, and, like, it's cool on that level. It's a travel movie. The Tom Holland casting as Nathan Drake was a little controversial because he's
seen as a little young and scrawny for it, but he does what Tom Cruise went for in Reacher and tries to make him like a fast guy that does parkour. He's nimble. He's like a little spider monkey.
Hey kid, a little young for a bartender, aren't you?
A little old for prom, aren't you?
With everything in here, why the map?
It's the biggest treasure that's never been found.
5 billion easy.
But it's just a story.
I beg to differ.
Years ago, my family found the world's biggest fortune, then was betrayed. People have been searching for it all in vain.
Both of you turn your keys clockwise at the same time.
Thanks a lot. You almost got me killed.
Clockwise, silly!
Well, it was 50-50, so I made a guess.
Clearly.
But the voyage was not just about gold. Something much more valuable.
This cross has a very tragic history. So much blood.
I'm pretty sure he just threatened to kill me.
Oh, this is gonna suck!
Don't get caught.
You were just gonna leave me back there.
Somebody had to get the cross.
It mostly works. I was not super attached to the original property. Mark Wahlberg only ever plays one guy. He's just like, what if The Rock was half that size and from Boston?
Then he would be Spencer, Matt.
Apparently. But he's fine as like the older guy that knew his older brother and draws him into the plot. It does have like the actual sort of denouement action climax of it. It is really ambitious and I thought it was fun. And I'm like, well, goddamn, if they're going to do that at the end of the movie, I'll give him a star back, right? And also the woman that plays Dorcas in The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, Tati Gabrielle, is the heavy for the bad guys. She's like an evil ninja lady. She's really fun. She really horribly embarrasses Tom Holland at several points in several ways. It was fun. I'm glad I paid about $4.50 for it.
Yeah, because you caught that. Y'all have deals on Tuesdays. We don't get that nonsense here.
Yeah, it's my weekly ritual to go to a late movie for $5 on Tuesday and then go to the Winco grocery store after hours for my week shopping. That way I can get those big box deals without those big box crowds. And I will say, this is $5 well spent. It's a good thing to look at while I eat popcorn, you know.
Well, speaking of things that are fun to look at while you eat popcorn that may not necessarily be Citizen Kane, I managed to catch Jackass Forever.
Oh, finally.
Right? I don't know what to report back. It's a Jackass movie. You know, if you're in line for this, if you enjoyed the previous three Jackass films, you're gonna dig this one. If their humor is a little too lowbrow and not your bag, then probably skip it. But this is a 20-year-old franchise now of guys just doing stupid shit on camera, which arguably gave birth to a lot of the viral trends we see now. Yeah, these are guys just doing some of the same crazy, insane, ridiculous stunts. Probably on the whole, as far as the oeuvre of Jackass films, this one was probably my least favorite. But that being said, I still had a hell of a good time.
They're hard to rank for me because I can't pick out which was in which one.
Right. Part of what's going on here is you definitely get the sense that they're trying to pass on the torch. There are some younger jackasses, several of whom kind of came up after watching the Jackass show and modeling their lives after Johnny Knoxville. Why the hell you would do that, I don't know. But we've got some new blood here. We've got some representation. We have a female Jackass now. It was fun. I don't know what to tell you guys, but it's like getting a visit from some of your older, rowdier friends who never quite grew up.
But I know we'll meet again some sunny day.
Hello, I'm Johnny Knoxville. Welcome to Jackass. 3, 2, 1.
A lot of people ask, what will Jackass be like once we're older? Well, it'll get more mature.
The faster you pedal your bike, the faster the other guy's hand goes back.
You said it wasn't gonna feel like anything.
Concussions aren't great, but as long as you have them before you're 50, it's cool. And Knoxville's 49, so we're good. Oh!
Can you feel my heart?
Wow.
Today, we're going to do a little furniture shopping.
I've been watching Jackass since I was 12 years old. And guess what? We're here.
We have winners, and we have Steve-O.
It ain't a bunch of NASA scientists writing this.
What did you guys do to Eric?
Fail to prepare, prepare to fail.
You still got those million-dollar teeth, that's for sure.
Gee, didn't set myself up for failure on this one.
Aaron, please relax.
I'm trapped. And you're putting honey on me and salmon? Oh, my God.
No way.
Oh, my God.
And they give you that little shot of Neverland that you're not living in on. That being said, Johnny Knoxville was really hurt this time. They decided to recreate one of their classic stunts, which is when Steve-O got just absolutely pummeled by a bull. They put Johnny Knoxville in the Toreador outfit this time, and I guess he suffered a traumatic brain injury over it and lost some cognition for a while. And in the days since, has said that he's kind of overdoing the stunts. This is his last hurrah. He's done. It was a heck of a way to go out. It was a real fun time. I took my partner with me to it. She had a good time. That's always a good barometer on whether or not the gross boy jokes are going to fly, is if the girlfriend is in for it. I have a really great girlfriend who really likes some lowbrow humor, though. But yeah, I enjoyed it. It was, like I said, just getting a visit from your old rowdy college friends, and that was a fun time. It's great to see movies, especially ones that are getting kind of mainstream distribution like this, that are not narrative films. I wouldn't go so far as to call Jackass a documentary, but it is a different showcase. It's a different form of entertainment that we're getting in the medium of film. And I think that's a good way for people to kind of tip their toe into something that maybe is a little outside their lane. I don't necessarily have any recommendations. If you enjoy Jackass, you should check something else out. But know that movie theaters are not just for movies. There are concert films. There are stand-up specials that have been theatrically released. Richard Pryor's Live on Sunset Strip was a theatrical release. The movies aren't just for making movies. You can showcase other things there. And I think Jackass is one of those things that's been doing it for damn near 20 years now. And I don't know if this new crew is going to take the reins, but it was a fun enough time. If they want to make another one, I might go see it.
I don't know. There's always going to be a market for people hurting themselves.
Right?
Even in the future, they were watching Out My Balls.
And now, football to the groin.
Ah, my groin!
I was saying Boo Earns.
Matt, are you a Big Mouth fan? I think we've talked about this on the show before. You hadn't watched it at the time because it was a Nick Kroll project, but did you ever get on board?
It's not like super because it's a Nick Kroll project. It's just like I have no strong feelings about it. It's like Disenchantment. Like it's in the queue.
Yeah, and I started Disenchantment. I liked Disenchantment, and I just have not kept up with Disenchantment. And now that we've got another season of Futurama in the hopper, I don't know how... I may put it off for another year, but there is a spinoff for Big Mouth that is about some of the side characters and kind of their world. It's doing a little world building, and I think more than anything, it's allowing these writers and performers to play in an arena that they couldn't play in Big Mouth, because Big Mouth, for those people who are unaware, it's a show about growing up in puberty, sexuality, all of the trappings therein, toxic masculinity, depression, shame, all of these things that you went through as a teenager, and puts a raunchy animated comedic face on it. It is going to ask you to laugh at things like hormone monsters and masturbating and sexuality and having a period at really inopportune times. Where this spinoff, and the spinoff is called Human Resources, goes is that there are just some places you can't go when your feature cast is mainly teenagers. And so this allows it to go somewhere else. Basically, the conceit of these series is that we as people, as we go through the changes and the things that life throws at us, are actually helped by mystical monsters who live in a magical realm. The most well-known of which is the hormone monsters who deal with our cast on Big Mouth going through puberty. They're the ones that tell you to stick your tongue in that person's mouth when you're making out with them. Then we also have other creatures. We have love bugs, which are the creatures that give you a capacity to fall in love with somebody or something. There's the shame wizard, and he's the voice in the back of your head that makes you revisit all of your past transgressions and think that people are judging you for them.
Life down on Earth can be very complicated, and that's why people need us. Your team members will be hormone monsters.
Our division's orgasm numbers just came in, and corporate is fucking pissed.
Shame wizards.
Good call mentioning what a knockout her sister is in your wedding toast.
Logic rocks.
There's no reason to stand up yet. I promise you, you will get off the plane.
And many more. You'll be assigned your human clients by the tube.
Oh, it's for Emmy.
I'm sorry, her?
Emmy, what we do here is important.
I get it. I don't take notes. I don't pay attention. I lied about my military service. Hi!
I'm Emmy, your new love bug. Yay!
That's just the way you make me feel.
I'm amazing!
Wow, my first case is a prego. Holy shit!
You've never done this before?
No wonder I don't love this thing.
Yes! Ka-ching!
What the hell are you doing here?
Au revoir the shame lottery!
Praying, crying, grieving, they're all just pointless exercises and self-indulgence.
You know, Peter, you got a really sassy mouth.
It's like I'm powerful.
Love lesson number one. Love is a fucking psycho!
There are anxiety mosquitoes, which prey upon your anxiety. There is a depression kitty, who is a giant, fat, purple, fluffy kitty that just sits on your chest and is so comfortable and warm and loving, but so not good for you. And this spinoff, Human Resources, is about that world and about the offices that they work in and about their inner office relationships. They pitched it as Big Mouth meets The Office. I don't think they quite got there.
Tell me more about the Depression Kitty.
The Depression Kitty is lovely. She's a giant purple kitty with a very soft-spoken, very effeminate voice. And she just rolls in and curls up with you and just wraps you in her big warm fur and the folds of her clothes. You're not going to get anything done while you're in the clutches of the Depression Kitty. But it might feel good for you at the time.
Jesse, have you ever laid on your side, facing away from the television, listening to a friend's marathon? It's raining outside, and you're wearing double socks.
Yeah, let's do that.
There you go, Sugar Plum.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm just so comfortable.
That's okay. Let go of everything.
This feels so nice.
You want to drink some more soupy ice cream?
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. How about another blanket?
I should get up. It's kind of weird to be in bed in the middle of the day.
No, it's not.
Oh, you're a little heavy.
I want that.
We've got some fantastic guest stars on the roster for Human Resources. Helen Mirren is in here in a small role. Hugh Jackman has a guest role that but appears in virtually every episode. He is an addiction angel who is a very toxic male presence for one of our feature characters and is rumored or is confirmed then later to have three dicks. One of the episodes, just out of nowhere, is a Rocky III plot. The hormone monsters are engaging in underground cockfights. And when I say underground cockfights, I don't mean roosters.
Yeah, of course. They just go right there. That's what
absolutely.
He does.
Absolutely.
He just makes the obvious joke.
But then they take it a step further because they actually go full Rocky III with it.
He does it in the same voice. He's a male Molly Shannon, goddamn. I'm sorry. Go on with you saying your things about your show.
But I did enjoy it because I've got Cocky Balls Boa fighting a giant penis Mr. T. And that's just the B plot in this episode that has, at the end of the day, a very heartfelt and very relatable A plot.
I was mad a minute ago, but you said Cocky Balboa. And now I'm
Balls Boa. What Big Mouth does and what Human Resources eventually gets around to is telling these funny, awkward, very relatable, and almost heartfelt and maudlin stories about depression, about grief, about shame, about not thinking you're good enough, and has really positive messaging on how to deal with things like that. Some of the issues that are explored in Human Resources are things I am going through right now. One of the clients in the series just had a baby, and she is going through some postpartum stuff. We just had a baby. That's something we have to keep our eye out for. One of the characters in the monster realm has just lost their job. I just lost my job, and there's a whole episode exploring that. There's an episode exploring grief. There's an episode exploring taking care of your elderly parents as they enter into dementia. And what that means for the parent, what that means for the person taking care of them, what that means for their daughter. And so it was a rocky start. I will give it that. There was a few episodes there where the main crux was like, oh, the monsters keep having sex in the workplace. We've got to get an orgy room for them. And I didn't know if I wanted to put up with a whole season of that. But eventually I got the good, gooey, nougaty Big Mouth stories that I've kind of come to appreciate. And it finally went there. What I will say, Matt, and this is the one thing I hope to sell you on, there is some spectacular swearing from Rosie Perez, who plays an ambition gremlin. The woman who has had a baby is also a very fierce legal professional, I think. The embodiment of her ambition is this ambition gremlin voiced by Rosie Perez, who takes absolutely no shit.
I respect what you're saying, but also, like, we have swears at home.
Yeah, you give me the swears at home, it's Chris Rock and Will Smith.
I don't know. My homemade swears are pretty good.
All right, Matt, have you seen anything else, or is that going to wrap it up for this edition?
I'll probably think of something after we stop talking.
All right, folks. Well, thanks for coming out, and we're going to bounce because, I don't know, should we say something different for the mini episodes? Is there a different outro we should use, or should we dance with the one we brought?
I don't know. That's branding dictates we should differentiate.
Yeah. How about wait here at the table? We'll be back. We're going to the bathroom. No, that raises all kinds of questions.
Yeah, I don't know if we want to invoke that specter just now.
How about the balcony is closed? No, that was Siskel and Ebert.
Yeah, I don't think we can get away with that one.
How about this? Have a safe and pleasant evening because the streetlights are starting to turn off. No, that's awkward.
They don't turn the streetlights off until like 7, so it's not that late.
The birds are chirping.
Get out. We have to sweep the theater.
All right.
There's no stinger. There's no stinger.
Hey, everybody. I'm Alan Barber.
And I'm Kurt Klinger.
And we are the hosts of a podcast called You've Never Heard This.
You've never heard this?
You've never heard this. It's been brought to our attention by the wonderful hosts of the Nighthawks podcast that we use the word new in our promo that they so graciously play on every episode.
And we are not new, Alan.
We are not new. We are no spring chickens.
We're not.
We've been doing this a while.
We've been around. Doesn't mean we know what we're doing.
No, not at all. But we certainly like to pretend.
We try.
If you love music, then you'll love this podcast. It's like a book club, except you don't have to do the homework.
Absolutely.
And we hope that you will join us, talking about everything from Soundgarden to Billie Eilish to the Dresden Dolls to Korn.
Oh, little of everything, really.
Little bit of everything.
We have fun.
We do. We have a good time. So we hope that you will join us. Enjoy our podcast. We can be found on just about every platform you can think of. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, most recently, Amazon Music and Audible.
Nice.
You have no excuse to not find us.
Yes. So you've never heard us.
Every Tuesday.
So check out
the podcast.
You've never heard this.